stuff that we're, our good stuff is like rags, filthy rags. Right. So we just thank you, Lord, that you love us and you care for us, you provide for us. And Father, we are so thankful to be in our new home.
Yes.
We know that the church is really just the believers, and that's, this is just a home for the us to be in for a little bit.
Yes.
But we just thank you, Lord, for this place we can come and worship you and share together. And we do pray, Lord, for those that are unable to be with us today. We pray, Father, that you would heal those that are sick. We especially pray, Lord, that you touch little Hannah and Alyssa and the whole family, Lord, that you just be with them at this time. And we pray, Father, for others that are sick. We don't know everyone's name, but we know there are others that would like to be here that cannot come today. And Father, we remember those that have gone before us, the ones that are no longer with us, but have been here and helped us and worked with us. And we just thank you, Lord, for their part in us being here. Without them, we could not be here as we are. So we just thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless each one that has helped with this move. We pray that you just renew their bodies and give them strength and peace. And Father, that you just give them a special blessing for helping. And we pray for those two that weren't able to come, but just that prayed. We know that that was an important part, that they uplifted us in prayer, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, we just trust you now as we start this new journey with you in this new place, that you would give us new vision, Lord, that we would see the opportunities that are here before us and that we would take advantage of them, and that you would, we know that you are with us all the time. Whether things go good or whether they don't go so good, Lord, we know that you care for us. And you're with us every moment. We just thank you for that. So we just pray now that you just bless the service and especially bless the pastor as he leads us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Ella, for praying. There's a prayer warrior right there. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him. Son and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as the ushers make their way around to us this morning. I just want to thank you for your incredible, incredible faithfulness. Look back at realizing where we've been. It was such a wonderful journey this week, just seeing everything being loaded, and there's three trailers that are still loaded. But the joy was not in getting everything from there to here, although that was wonderful. Jace, don't forget me, if you would. The joy was, for me, the biggest joy of the week was hearing our teens. Because they remember when we were out at the Quality Inn. They remember Vacation Bible School in the park. You guys remember the movie theater. You guys remember the cafe. And you had memories of all these things. And I just want to thank you for the joy that you shared as you kept on carrying and kept on pushing and pulling. And then you remember, of course, the mini mall. And here we are at a brand new place. And I realize that what's happening here is we are doing more than conducting a service. We're building an identity. God is building an identity in us. And it's more than a civic organization that does good in the community. Amen. It's that God Himself is residing with us. and that love and that joy and that peace and that happiness and that encouragement and that laughter. Wow. It just kept me going all week because I realized that what we're doing is more than moving boxes. We are being the body of Christ. And this joy, this happiness, this contentment, this fulfillment is contagious. It's attractive. It's magnetic. My heart is so blessed this morning because, Jay, we moved a mountain. We walked around the wall. The wall came down. We crossed the First Street River. And God is blessed. God has blessed us to be here this morning and to be a family. To be a family of faith and to be a family of God. I want to welcome you who are joining us online this morning. I told Cheryl that I was going to wave at her. Hi, Cheryl and Brian. You are joining us from just up the street. And as many of you know, Cheryl had surgery earlier this week, so we're glad that the Lord has brought you through, and we're praying with you for a wonderful recovery and healing. And would you also remember, like Ella prayed, our granddaughter, Hannah, she's in the KSB this morning, admitted this morning, so just having some breathing problems. And so would you pray for her? And would you pray for Jean? Jean has, this has been her life, and her business over here, and her business over there, and she has created an environment here. And we don't take that lightly. We realize that we are stewards of that which God is entrusting into our care. Amen. And so as we remember that we are moving in, it's got to be hard for her to be moving out. And so let's remember her in our prayers as God provides for her and her future. Amen. And if you get a chance to greet her and just thank her for her hospitality and for allowing a little bit of coexistence of two different environments and two different worlds to happen this morning. There's an auction getting ready to happen on the second floor from the back this morning. So that'll be happening in just a little bit. It has been such a blessing this week, and I was going to tell you this morning that I didn't even have a sermon, but I didn't want you to be disappointed. And so, by the way, Todd, I'm going to unplug this monitor. Is it going to bother? Okay. I've got last week's alabaster offering here, and you just won't believe how much is in this envelope. $208.30. Amazing. And these dollars are going to go to building projects around the world, the 160 world areas that the Church of the Nazarene is in now. Some of them are creative access areas that we can't name because of the danger to the missionaries there. But they're going to provide housing for missionaries. And these dollars that you give through alabaster offering is something that the Church of the Nazarene has done for a long, long time. And many hospitals have been built, clinics have been built, homes for missionaries have been built, churches have been built because of your alabaster giving. And I want to thank you. And on behalf of Ella, I know you're a grateful missionary president. Yes. Yes. When I got us, we were at a convention yesterday, and we went to Pekin and gathered with our district family, and And we were, our missionary president, which happens to be our son's mother-in-law, Renee Kendall, got up and shared about our district having given 112% of our World Evangelism Fund. That means of the 5.5% of each dollar that you give that goes to World Evangelism Fund that pays to support our missionaries, the 740 missionaries that are around the world. So every dollar you give, 5.5% of that goes to support them. She said that our district and we have overpaid that fund as a local church, but also our district has overpaid that fund by 12%. She said she went to a general conference and was feeling pretty good about that until she started seeing what other world areas had given. And Haiti, what was the number, Jay? Do you remember? Like 500% over. And you know, we think we give, it's just, it kind of blows us out of the water when we think of how God's people are led by Him, and we have the opportunity to share what we have. And I was inspired by that, and I know that hardship doesn't break God's people. Amen? It forms us into who God is making us out to be. We continue in our series this morning, Crisis and Next Steps of the Faithful. If you're watching and joining us online this morning from Florida, from Colorado, from different parts of the nation, I get a chance to look at the website statistics on a weekly basis, and it is really exciting to see how many states are joining us every week, and we just want to continue to welcome you. And you'll notice a new feature online this morning on our website that Lisa's already mentioned, and that is we have a place for you if you would like to make a donation. You're welcome to do that. It's all online, and it's completely secure as far as we know. But all of the safeguards are in place for that to be a secure site. And so if that's something that works for you, that's a wonderful way to help seed the ministry for the future. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning, we're talking about crisis. And when the faithful have a crisis in their Christian walk or in their walk with God, we've shared for the last few weeks that it really doesn't matter where we are in our walk with God, we are going to experience times of crisis. It doesn't mean necessarily that we've sinned. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's our fault. But it does mean that because we're living in a fallen world, there will be times that we experience crisis. And so the simple question is, when we face these crises in our lives, now what? Now what? So this morning we're going to talk about Elizabeth. And many of you know her as the mother of John the Baptist. And so we're going to turn there, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest by the name of Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. And it is happening. Just a second. Might have froze up on us. Let me go here. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing the temple and all the Lord's commands blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not only old, but she was unable to conceive. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is Zechariah standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled. and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness and to make ready a people for God." And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting outside for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed in the temple for so long. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people." No matter where we are in our walk with Christ, we will encounter times of crisis. It may be a cultural crisis, like we talked about with Noah, who, because of his walk with God, it put him in a crisis with his culture. It may be a crisis, a situation. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They walked through the Red Sea. And then the baton was passed to Joshua, and they faced yet another body of water called the Jordan River, a crisis, and then the wall of Jericho. It may be a crisis, a situation that you're in this morning. It may be a crisis of promise. For Moses, he had to rely on the promise of God that he learned about at the burning bush. And he had to base all of his future steps on the promise that God had given him. And you may be at a time in your life when you're having to go back to a time when God spoke to you and gave you an assurance, a promise that he would be faithful to you. It may be a crisis of weariness. Last week we mentioned that Elijah did bold things for God, and he said bold words. Before King Ahab. And as a result, Elijah had to take off running, didn't he? He had to go hide. He had to make sure that he ducked as King Ahab was shooting arrows his way. For Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, the storm of crisis seemed to be a clash of several things. One of the things was she had a husband that just didn't quite believe as much as he should have. Now, he was a priest, and I find that a little bit awkward, if you know what I mean. There was Zechariah in the temple, and he was the priest on duty representing the people, and God showed up. And then he questioned God, and as a result, had to remain silent for 9 months. Had to be a little bit embarrassing for Elizabeth to have a husband that, well, we could call it maturity, lack of maturity, or we could call it maybe lack of trust or lack of faith. However Elizabeth looked at it, it was a little bit uncomfortable. The neighbors probably were talking. But I think there was more than that. I think for Elizabeth, there was not only a crisis of trust in her husband's life, but there was a crisis of timing in her life. Remember what the Bible said? It said that they were both well along in years. They were old. They were too old for conceiving children. And yet, Gabriel showed up and told them that they were going to have a baby like Elijah, who would prepare the way of the Lord. She had a struggle. She was unable to conceive. And we don't know what the problem was medically, but we do know that medically she was unable to conceive. Time was running out. If she was going to conceive, she was, by all standards, too old to have and carry the child anyway. When Elizabeth's husband asked for more than just the word, and he asked for assurance, the angel made him silent due to his lack of confidence. And in actuality, that lack of confidence, we have a responsibility to lean into God. And we call that faith. Amen? When we are struggling with belief, what do we do? Do we go back in fear, or do we lean in to Jesus and move forward in faith? And that's what I think we could learn from Zechariah. By the way, let's give Zechariah a little break, shall we? I mean, we could say, yeah, he's, you know, lacked a little faith or lacked a little confidence or lacked this or that. But you know what? He had a position in the church. But a position in the church doesn't equal necessarily maturity. And it doesn't equal perfection. We are human. And there will be times that we fail. And let's give Zechariah a break. We're all growing in this, aren't we? I can't say that I would blame him. I mean, by all physical evidence, he was too old and his wife was too old. And he questioned. I might have done the same thing. But it doesn't change the fact that I think Elizabeth probably wasn't excited about dealing with a silent husband for 9 months. Now, many of you women might like that. But I can only imagine some of the difficulties that it would create in their household. Sending him a verbal message and he's not responding. A simple thing like, it's supper time, Zechariah, and nothing. Zechariah, it's supper time. Nothing. Finally, Zechariah walks in. Frustration for 9 months had to be difficult. Elizabeth had suffered. This is probably the biggest thing that she suffered, though. She had to experience some disgrace by the community. And you know, through no fault of her own, the communities of that day so highly valued the bearing of children that if Elizabeth wasn't able to have a child, it was looked at as though God wasn't blessing them. And that had to be a very difficult place for her to be in. It was as though her ticket to the women's group depended on her having a child. It was as though her admission to the social acceptance in her community depended on her bearing a child. So Elizabeth and Zechariah had a couple crises going on. One was a crisis of trust, and one was a crisis of timing. I just want to ask us before we look at their next steps, how are you doing with those things? Are you waiting on anything? Are there some things that you've been praying for a long time? Are there some things that it would just be so awesome if God would just put in place for you? Because until that happens, it feels like there's some social non-acceptance going on in your life. It feels like if God would just provide that thing, whether it's a financial thing or a relationship or an understanding, it feels like I just can't move forward until God provides that. Well, that had to be where Elizabeth and Zechariah were living. And I also want to ask you this morning how you're doing with your crisis of trust. Say, I'm not having a crisis of trust. I hope you're not. But those crises of trust can sneak up on us very quickly, can't they? It can be as fast as a call that says, I'm in the emergency room and we're going in for tests. It can be as fast as a text that says, we need to talk. It can be as fast as an unexpected death. It can be as fast as a bill that arrives in the mail. It can be as fast as a sharp word from someone that we thought would never hurt us with their tongue. A crisis of trust, a crisis of timing. How are you doing with those crises? How am I doing? Well, let's look at how Elizabeth did, shall we? Well, we can learn from Scripture this morning that in spite of her time running out, and I mean by that, I mean her biological clock was running out in regards to time to have children, she held on to holiness. In spite of the time ticking out, the hourglass emptying, she held on to holiness. Now, that can be a real challenge for us because we get in a hurry, don't we? We get impatient, we get impulsive, and we want God to move because we see it's very apparent that time is running out. Are you experiencing any days of our lives? How many of you remember the big giant hourglass on that? And do they still have it? I don't know. The days of our lives, like sands through the hourglass, so are the... And we're standing there going, God, do you see what's happening here? My time is running out, and I need you to provide. But she remained faithful, her and her husband. I want to say, in light of the move that we just experienced this week, I want to thank you that, you know, we had a week to get everything out of there. And I don't know where it all came from. But you all have been very generous of bringing stuff in. And you know, we've went to the lumber yard 100 times and we've built props and we've, you know, bought material. And it's just, we had a lot of stuff. Well, anyway, the time was running out. We had to be out by last night. And I was watching like sands through the hourglass, so is the move of living well. And I was like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, tick. And we're out, and God has provided. I want to thank you, in light of all of us knowing that the time was running out, for those of you who stayed behind and cleaned and vacuumed, and made sure that our previous landlord knows that we appreciate our time there. No vendetta, nothing like, you know, let's leave a little mess here, or let's take the light bulbs, or let's take the switch plates. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. You stayed holy. You stayed faithful. You stayed true. Integrity shown through, even as sand through the hourglass. Luke 1:5-7 says that they stayed holy in the presence of God. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children. I don't know what your "but I don't have any" is this morning. I don't have that. I don't have this. I don't have that. But what really matters this morning is that you are remaining faithful. Amen? What does that look like? What does that look like? Well, even when she did not have her biggest hope met, she stayed faithful. What is your biggest hope for your life? What is it that you are hanging on to, that you are praying God will provide? It may be the salvation of an adult son or daughter. It may be a restoration of a relationship. It may be a financial provision. But you know what? We could go through our entire life, and that prayer that you're praying for now for provision may not even be answered in your lifetime. It may be answered in the lifetime of your kids. So it really isn't about you and I getting what we want to get from God and then we'll be faithful. It's our faithfulness and trust needs to come first, because you know what? He is the grand architect and the grand engineer. We only see a little bit. He sees the big picture. I could pray to win the lottery, and he says, John, that would destroy you and your family for generations. I don't know. But he sees the big picture. We trust in him, not what he can do for us. Amen? And our faith is based on who he is, not for what he can do for us. She prayed in hope. How am I doing on time? Oh, pretty soon, I think there's an auctioneer going to start, and you might start listening to him. Say, I'll take that one, I'll take that one. I'm just getting blessed. Yeah, sold for $5. I'm getting blessed. No, didn't want to buy that buffet. Okay. She prayed in hope. But the angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. I want to encourage you to continue praying for God's will to be done. Pray for grace to accept God's will once it's revealed, and pray in faith. And choose faith instead of fear. Being past the age of childbearing could be an unnerving event for her to all of a sudden realize she was pregnant. There will be times that we will be scared to death at the next steps that we have to take, physically, emotionally, or even spiritually. There may be some here who have heard the call of God to surrender something or to say yes to his will, but it scares you to death. I want to encourage you this morning, don't choose fear. Choose faith. Lean into him. That's the way forward. To go back into fear is to wander in the desert for another 40 years. And even the inheritance that you would leave your kids would be an inheritance of fear instead of faith. So move forward like Elizabeth and Zechariah did. Amen? Coming in for a landing here. All right. She trusted God in his timing. One of the hardest things we do, I'm on the last page, I think, Brad, is to wait for God's answers. I'm intrigued by God's sense of timing in Luke chapter 1. Let me just list a couple things, how Luke references God's timing. Chapter 1, verse 5, in the time of Herod, or verse 10, and when the time for burning of incense came, chapter verse 20, my words which will come true at their proper time. Verse 23, when his time of service was completed. Verse 24, after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth. In verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Of course, that was the mother of Jesus. In verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Some of the things, the most important things that we're doing are going to take time. I want to close with this illustration. I've got a friend, a customer at the barbershop who has a pet squirrel. And he drives a 18-wheeler, and he drives this 18-wheeler all over the United States. And whenever he comes in, he's got little scratches on his neck. And so I ask him about his squirrel. And he says, oh, she's just doing great. And she's growing now. She's 9 months old. And I said, you know, tell me about the squirrel. He says, she just loves me. He says, she rides on the dash of my truck. And I buy her a little bag of cashews to eat every week. Cheap food, he says. She'll eat about a little $2 bag of cashews every week. And she says she's doing pretty good with her potty training. She says, I take her everywhere I go, including when I take her home. He says, when I come home, and there are times that I can't take her with me on the road, and I have to leave her with my wife. He said this pet squirrel is incredibly, number one, defensive of him, and number two, wants to be with him all the time. And so when he leaves her with his wife, they don't necessarily, you know, the squirrel and his wife don't necessarily get along, okay? The squirrel is like, where is my guy? You know, where's my man? You know, where's my owner? Well, I say that to say this. Have you ever tried to have a squirrel for a friend? A wild squirrel?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this gentleman found this squirrel as a baby. And so from its very little infancy, it learned to trust him. And he's a good, good owner of the squirrel. But perhaps you've got a little chubbly like we do, who digs up our flower beds. And I can get about from me to Tina away from chubbly, and he looks at me, and I'm like, you know, I kind of like to have a squirrel for a friend. And so, you know, I may leave a little something out there for Chubbly. But if I get too close to Chubbly, Chubbly's gone that fast. How do you become a friend of a squirrel that's wild? Well, maybe you could place demands on it. Say, get over here. Stay right where you're at. I'm going to catch you. It's not going to work. Perhaps trap them. Would that be the thing? Do you rush them? You're just going to leave. Some of the things that we are waiting on in our life are just going to take some time. Some time for some trust bridges to be built. And there's no way to rush it. I don't know what you're waiting on this morning, but I do know that if we will do things God's way, He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. But we can't rush it. And we can't place demands on it. And we can't yell at it. And we can't try to intimidate it. And we can't use fear. It's trust. And it's faith that brings the good, good gifts of God into our lives. There may be a crisis of timing going on in your life, a crisis of trust. But why don't we right now bow our heads and close our eyes as our worship team comes? And I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer this morning. Lord, you know where we are at in the various things that we're facing in our lives. And Lord, you know that there are things that we're waiting on, and there are crises of trust and timing in our lives. And Father, this morning, we realize through the life of Elizabeth and Zechariah that you're teaching us to be faithful in lifestyle, in heart, in mind and spirit, even if we're not getting what we want right now. But that we should continue to observe the commands and the ordinances and the will of God in our life. Lord, help us to trust you for who you are, but not just for what you can do for us. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the big, big picture and remember the promise that you gave us. Lord, thank you for the universal promises that we live in today, your love, your grace, your faithfulness to us. And Lord, for those who are needing to hear more specific calls today about what am I supposed to do with tomorrow? What do I need to do with the next year of my life? Lord, I pray that you would provide guidance. May your will, Lord, be shared as through the angel Gabriel to us. But Lord, when we hear your word, may we receive it in faith and in confidence. Lord, usher us through what could be a crisis of trust as we lean into you for the future. Lord, help us choose faith instead of fear. Oh, we need this, Lord, because situations, problems are bigger than we are, and they seem to require more than we have. More resources, more emotion, more energy. Lord, help us rest in you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to trust you. And for those, Lord, who are building trust bridges in their lives, Lord, help us not rush the process with people that can be frustrating sometimes. And we just think if we maybe talk louder or clearer or be more animated that they'll get the point. But Lord, help us to be patient and realize that there's a work going on in their heart that we may not even understand or comprehend. So Lord, help us be patient with what you're doing in the lives of others as you use us as your ambassadors of help, hope, and healing in the lives of people around us. And Lord, bless our families, we pray. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Ushers, if you would go ahead and distribute the elements of communion. Let's go ahead and sing, We Believe. I'll guide you through our time of communion. If you would just receive the elements and hold them as we sing.
In this time of desperation,
we believe in God.
believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, that He's coming back again. We believe.
Let's sing that again. From the top in this time of desperation.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation.
We believe. Let's receive the bread.
Broken generation.
Lord, bless the bread as it symbolizes your body broken for us. We receive it now, thankful for the sacrifice you made for us.
There is only one salvation. We believe
in God the Father.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit.
Let's receive Him in us new life.
We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, that He's coming back.
Thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name this morning. Father, thank you for the gifts of your Spirit. Thank you for your gifts of love, encouragement, and grace. We relish them, Father. And we seek to dwell in your presence and peace this week until you bring us back together right here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. And you are dismissed. May God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep.